Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back for part 3 of my conversation with Cindy Rollins. She is the author of one of my favorite homeschool books ever written. It's called Mere Motherhood, Morning Times, Nursery Rhymes, and My Journey Toward Sanctification. I read this book several years ago with a group of friends, and it was, it's one of the books that I don't even lend it out, actually, because I've learned that when you lend out books to people, oftentimes you don't get them back. And so this is one of the ones that I don't even tell people that I have it. Well, now everybody who's listening to this knows I have it. But if you ask me to borrow it, maybe I'll just buy it for you and instead of lending mine out to you because it's so good. It's marked up through the whole book, and I've got a bunch of pages tagged in it and stuff because it's such a powerful book. When you talked a little bit about kind of what led you to write this book, but I would love for you to talk a little bit about kind of your journey of homeschooling. Why did you decide to homeschool in the first place? Is that something that you had planned to do, or did you just kind of stumble upon it? Why did you do this?
Well, I had graduated from high school with straight A's, kind of, but I was really self-conscious that I didn't know anything, and it bothered me. And this was in the 1980s. So my husband and I got married in 1980. We were very young. I was 18. He was 19. And one day I was listening to Focus on the Family. It was a 15-minute show at that time. And they had a guy on there called Raymond Moore. Uh-huh. And Raymond Moore is an early homeschooling pioneer. That day, a lot of my old friends, we all heard that podcast, that radio show, the pre-podcast radio show.
Yep.
And he started talking about homeschooling and especially delaying putting your kids in school. So my husband came home that day and I said, "Guess what? I know what we're going to do with our imaginary," at that point, "kids." I said, "We're going to homeschool them." And my husband said, "That is weird. I don't even know what you're talking about. We're not going to do that." But by the time we had kids, I had read many more of Raymond's books. I'd read other books. I found For the Children's Sake when I just had two little tiny boys. And we went to a curriculum fair and up in Massachusetts, met old time guy, Sam Blumenfeld, who did a phonics, mm-hmm. early phonics program. Wonderful, wonderful guy. And it was after that, it was just like, we never turned back. We just went forward with homeschooling. And I just truly believe that that is what God had for our family. He made sure that we heard about it and that and we did it. And it was just a really wonderful. To me, one of the biggest beauties of homeschooling is as moms come out of the educational system and they feel cheated while they're homeschooling their children. And this is what happened to me. They are getting an education also.
Yep.
And I look at all my old homeschooling friends, the older ladies, and I'm like, these are the smartest women. They know they did not pursue that career that they've been told that they should, that that's where all happiness and self-fulfillment will be. Instead, they stayed at home. They learned along with their children, and that gave them purpose. That gave them any kind of purpose that they would have needed or had in the workplace. Homeschooling is a way to be fulfilled in life and to have a purpose and to repair those ruins of education that that we were cheated out of in some ways by the educational system and the culture.
Right.
So I just think it's awesome fun to homeschool.
Yeah.
And I think it's also fun to learn. And now that all my kids are grown up, guess what? I'm still homeschooling because I'm still in school. I'm still learning. Yeah. And it's really seamless.
Yeah. You know, you talk about being cheated out of an education, and I'm one who grew up in a Christian school almost my entire life. And I also came out of high school just feeling like I don't know anything. And that has, I agree, been one of the most exciting things for me in our homeschool journey is starting over, because you kind of literally start over from kindergarten and you just learn along with your kids. And my husband's always just said, you just need to stay one step ahead of them. That's all. Mm-hmm. And there are so many resources, of course, to be able to teach our kids. Sure. And so it's not like I have to know chemistry and, you know, all the things that they're going to encounter, especially in the high school years. You know, God has been so good to have us here at a time when we have options for all of those things. And so you didn't have all of the options that we have today. What did it look like for you? I know you did your morning time. We talked about that. But how? Because I know many are asking this question, and many, many moms ask the question, you know, especially if they have a large family like yours. You had 9 kids. How in the world did you homeschool, successfully homeschool 9 children all at the same time?
Well, you know, at the time when I was homeschooling, I sometimes would feel sorry for myself. Like I didn't have, first of all, when you have 9 kids, you don't have a lot of money,
right?
A lot of people suck in the money. And I would feel like, oh, I feel sorry. We don't have opportunities other people have because we can't put them in outside classes, or we didn't even have outside classes available, or we live so far out in the country, we couldn't get anywhere. We didn't have co-ops. We didn't have all these things. And so we were at home. Now, I did have 8 boys, so the boys had each other. We a lot of people with 1 or 2 children would come to our house to get muddy and dirty and throw their clothes. And we had that. My daughter did not have that, but my sons had that. They had other boys to play with. So we weren't isolated in the sense that we were completely alone. But in the end, I saw that a lot of the things that I thought were weaknesses, and we didn't have the internet until well into, my oldest was around 14, I think. All these things that I felt like at the time were weaknesses and they weren't opportunities that we weren't having ended up being the very things that turned out to be blessings. My guys have all grown up to be very hardworking. They're able to just overcome problems. They're problem solvers. They have fortitude. They have all these qualities almost across the board. And I don't say that I instilled that in them. I didn't. But the books we read and the life that we were living, which was kind of hard, and the really worked that way. Now, we did have friends. And we had a lot of people in our home. We had a lot of homes. We would informally have like recitation nights where we'd say, hey, in 6 weeks, come on over and we'll all the kids can memorize something and share it. And we would do that. We'd pick a theme, comedy or patriotism or, you know, love or, you know, just any kind of theme. And then the kids would come over and each one would stand up and then we'd eat and we'd all play and the adults would do stuff, you know. Christmas is a good time to do something like that. So we did have, we have lifelong friends that we've met over the years just with that kind of setup, but it was very organic and we were not as distracted. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about that. I mean, there are things we can do about that and maybe we can talk about that a little bit.
But, sure. Yeah, let's talk about that actually. I would love to talk about that because distractions are a big thing today.
Yeah. Well, I think the number one tool that we have to guard against distraction is Sabbath. We must take a break.
Yep.
Whether we know of Sabbath in the sense that Saturday or Sunday is a Sabbath and we, you know, but if we do whatever we have that we're doing that we cannot stop and take one day off from it, that is a warning flag that our life is out of balance. God, the Bible says that Sabbath was made for man. It's a gift that God gives us. When he gave us this precious gift of taking time off and stopping, and we don't use it, especially our devices. We need to take breaks from our devices. We need to take Facebook breaks. We need to take, we just need to take breaks from whatever it is that is coming at us 24/7 during our life. And a Sabbath is the tool that God has given us to deal with that. And we need to say, thank you, Lord, and embrace it.
Yep.
And whether we embrace a traditional Sabbath or we just say, you know, I've got to have this whole day off.
Yeah.
And we do it some other way.
Yeah. I love that so much. We are a family who is big into Sabbath because we work a lot, you know, keeping a ministry going and making a movie and producing a podcast and homeschooling and all the things that God has called us to. It's exhausting. But we years ago, before my girls were even born, my husband and I decided that we were going to take at least one Sabbath day a week. And we look forward to that day. You know, it's the day that we do nothing. You know, it's usually Sunday. So in a normal year when churches are in session, you know, we go to church and we go to lunch and we don't do cooking or cleaning or anything. I mean, we literally take the whole day off. We play games together. We watch movies. We just spend time together as a family. And it is so refreshing. It just kind of lets you breathe. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, it just gives you that kind of breath of fresh air. And it's,
yeah, it puts
it's
everything in its proper place instead of letting something become so big.
Yeah, it really does. God knew what he was doing when he called us to do that. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Do you love books, but sometimes feel overwhelmed at the sheer volume of titles that are out there? It's impossible to read everything. It's even impossible to keep up with what's coming out on any given week. There are so many publishers, genres, authors, and titles. Even good-sized bookstores can hardly keep up. So how do you know what's actually worth checking out? That's where Forma, a digital and print journal published by the Searcy Institute, comes in handy. Each week, they provide reviews of a carefully curated selection of new books, many of them lesser known but important titles from lesser known but important publishers. They'll suggest titles you won't want to miss, and sometimes they'll provide unique perspectives on books everyone is already reading. So if you'd like some help pointing you in the right literary direction, head over to formajournal.com for both free and subscriber content. You can even have weekly reviews delivered to your inbox. Again, visit formajournal.com. We are back with Cindy Rollins and talking about Sabbath before we got on our break. And, you know, God is a good God. He provides us with and instructs us in his word to do things that I think we oftentimes wouldn't otherwise do, like taking a break. Some people would take too much of a break. Some people do.
That's why habit is so important. You have habits, but then you take a break.
Yes.
You know, that they kind of go hand in hand. You're diligent, but then you need a break.
Yes.
You're not diligent until you break down.
Right. Right. Yes. Because that's very unhealthy. We don't want to do that. And we don't want to set that precedence for our kids either. We want to set the example for them of there is a time to rest. There's a time to work. There's a time to play. There's a time to rest. And exactly. I mean, there has to be a good balance in all of that. Mm-hmm. Even with homeschooling, you know, oftentimes as homeschool moms, we get to, you know, February seems to be kind of that month where every mom's like, what am I doing? I can't do this anymore. And so it's okay to just say, you know what, we're going to, even though you just had your Christmas break and maybe your New Year's break, it's okay to take a week off and just play games or go to the park or do whatever it is, because your kids are still learning during those times. And I think oftentimes when our kids, when their brains are just on overload, they tend to just shut everything off. Absolutely. And then they're not learning as well anyway. And so you may as well just take a step back, let them refresh their brains with rest and other activities, not sit and watch TV or play on your phone all day long, but do other things that are healthy for their brains, and then bring them back in.
That whole idea that I think the whole system is set up, like if we go to a school, mm-hmm. there's a train and it keeps going and goes. But learning does not happen like that. So some kids are behind, some kids are ahead. But in home, we have that organic thing that if we stop because our brain needs to settle, then we can do that. Yeah. We can let the child, you know, recuperate and get ready for the next thing. Because you can see that when you're teaching phonics or something like that, where you have to know what came before to keep going.
Right.
And you know, you're going along, everything's going fine. And then you hit a stopping point. And sometimes all that happens is a couple weeks go by.
Yep.
And then the train starts up again. You don't know what happened. Sometimes you change programs and you think, oh, a miracle, this new program is so good, when really it's just that the child needed to let everything settle.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All of us are like that, but you can see it more clearly in those early years.
Sure. And earlier we talked about the power of attention. And that's one of the things that as homeschool moms, we have the ability to do, is to pay attention to our individual kids. Mm-hmm. And take notice of what's really going on with them. What break do they need? What are they struggling with? What are they thriving in? And be able to create an environment for them and create their education system individually for them in a way that best suits them and in the way that God created them to learn. And no one else is going to do that like mom or dad. No one else can. It's not possible. I mean, you can have the greatest teacher in all the world. I had great teachers when I was in school, but they couldn't, you know, like you said, it's like a train that just keeps going. They could never slow down for me or speed up for me. They just kept going. And I know that they cared about me and the rest of my classmates, but there's no one like mom or dad who can focus and hone in on the individual and specific needs of each child like mom can and like dad can. And so it's such a great, great opportunity. It's one of the greatest blessings of homeschooling that we have. We have a few more minutes and I want you to talk really quickly about you have a Patreon group where it's like a Charlotte Mason Patreon group, right?
Well,
can you tell us about that?
I mean, it is, because we have a joke on our podcast, the Literary Life podcast, that when I mention Charlotte Mason, you can take a drink of orange juice or whatever. We're not trying to get anybody to take a drink, but we just make a joke about it. I kind of just can't help talking about Charlotte Mason. On my Patreon group, I do read aloud through Charlotte Mason's volumes.
Okay.
With commentary. And I do a lot of discipleship. I have a video every Saturday where I just talk about the week and what God's doing in my life and how, you know, things, moms, homeschooling. We have a monthly question and Q&A. So where we just get on once a month, the first Tuesday of the month, and just talk about homeschooling and ask questions of each other. I'm not the only one. We have a kind of a brain trust going on in the question and answer. I really appreciate the other moms. But the Patreon, you just go to patreon.com/CindyRollins and you can be a part of that. I have two levels. You can be in just the Charlotte Mason reading level where I have the book. I read those books out loud with commentary and you can comment in the comment section. Or we have the larger group that has, you know, more going on.
Okay. And then that's in addition to the podcast that you have, because you also co-host a podcast, right? Called Literary Life Podcast.
I co-host the podcast called the Literary Life Podcast with Angelina Stanford and Thomas Banks.
Okay.
And we just talk about books. And if you are insane and like to talk about books, then we are the Insane Talk About Books podcast. And we've had a lot of fun over the last couple of years. It's just been a lot of fun. And we talk about books in general. You don't have to be homeschooling to enjoy that podcast, but we also have a couple really good episodes with Karen Glass about teaching children to write.
Okay.
And just because that came up quite a bit in our discussions.
Okay. We will, I'll try to find those. Maybe you can send me links to those and I'll put those in our show notes so people can find those. I would love to listen to those myself. And the podcast as well. I mean, that sounds fantastic. Do you have, and this is kind of putting you on the spot, but do you have maybe like your top three or four books that, you know, if you were stranded on a desert island and you could only take three books with you, what would you take?
Boy, that's a really good question. Like, do you, not about homeschooling?
No, just any books that you have enjoyed reading.
Oh boy, you have put me on the spot. My brain does not work that well.
Or okay, maybe just some of your favorites.
I would probably take The Wind in the Willows. I love that book so much. It's a good children's book. This is another children's book I'd probably take. Little Britches. His mother is such an inspiration to me. I tried to memorize everything she memorized. And I would probably take Something by C.S. Lewis. I just love C.S. Lewis. And I would probably take something. I'm trying to read everything he wrote.
Okay.
I'm going to die first because he wrote a lot.
He did write a lot. He wrote a lot, and he's one of those authors that when I read Lewis, I have to keep bringing my brain back and what does he mean by this? You know, because there's so much meaning behind so much of what he's saying. It's not just a story. It's a story with purpose. There are a lot of stories that are not, they don't really have a purpose, but to entertain. But they also have so much deep meaning behind them. And so I have to really focus and pay attention.
I think his book, That Hideous Strength, is a perfect book for people to read during this time of COVID. It's a novel, but it really puts some things in perspective about modernity and the way we think.
Okay.
It's actually his third book in the Space Trilogy, but it stands alone. You don't need to read the other two books necessarily. Gotcha. To enjoy that book.
Okay.
It's not an easy read. It's Lewis, like you said. Right. Sometimes with Lewis, I'm just like happy that, he said that so well. I don't know what he's saying, but he said it so beautifully.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yep. Yeah, right. So good. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for joining me this week on the podcast. You are an absolute blessing to me. And I know to so many others. We will put all of the links for all of your things in the show notes so people can find you. They can find your Patreon group, your podcast. Definitely, you guys, pick up this book, Mirror Motherhood. You're going to love it. I promise you. I would give you a money back guarantee, but you will not need it because it is truly one of my favorite all time books ever on and not just homeschooling. It's actually not. It's a homeschooling book, but it's not just for homeschool parents. It talks a lot about parenting as well. It talks about motherhood and the joys and the struggles and the blessings and just the journey of motherhood. And so I highly recommend getting this. This is a great book to get. To kind of just kick off this new year, kick off this new semester, maybe even do a summer. When I read it a few years ago, it was actually a summer book club that I did with several moms, and I had never heard of it and picked it up and I thought, oh man, this is a book. Like I said, I've got lots of highlights and you have a lot of good book recommendations in here just throughout the book. And so you guys will definitely be blessed by it. We will put links to that in the show notes as well. So Cindy, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's so great.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. And you guys, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic rest of your week. And we will see you back here on Monday with another fantastic episode. See you then. Bye-bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.